Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. $100 gift card. Tweet us at 102.5 underscore MD. The craziest cooking disaster you had around the holidays. The winner will get that gift card coming up here in just a few minutes. A couple segments from now. Chris Mason going to join us. The Preds win last night 5-2. They lean on the defense core to score four of those five goals. Two of those were empty netters late in the third period. But a couple goals from Ekholm and Yossi in the second period to take a 3-1 lead into the third, and the Preds hold on. UC Saros playing really good hockey last night for the Preds. They are back on the ice quickly, going from Madison Square Garden over to Long Island, and they'll play, of course, against the Islanders tonight. Pre-game at 5, puck drop at 6. So, again, that early start time, which I love because the 3-year-old daughter gets to watch the first period of Preds hockey. So I like those early start times, D-Mays. A couple of big stories and a couple of questions I had. We'll get back to the Titans in just a few minutes. But there's one story about Memphis and Tennessee that isn't about basketball. It isn't about the, you know, the backcourt shooting for the Tennessee Volunteers. It's about the rivalry and it's about the future of it in this state. And I think we all acknowledge that if you are a fan of college basketball or just basketball in general, that it is good for the state of Tennessee that Memphis and Tennessee play each other.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what the future of this situation holds. But as long as, and this would be my case for Rick Barnes in Tennessee, as long as Memphis and Penny Hardaway, in particular, was going to continue to sort of throw jabs and create controversy in the media and sort of build up these things that were happening on the bench or whatever that he claims happened at the end of last season, creating these issues, there would be no reason, in my opinion, for Rick Barnes in Tennessee to sort of punch down to Memphis. And I say that only based on conference. I'm not trying to be, you know, insulting to Memphis or Memphis basketball. Memphis basketball probably has got a better history than Tennessee basketball, frankly. Maybe. But the point is that one's in the AAC and one's in the SEC. Mm-hmm. That's punching down. There's no reason for Rick Barnes in Tennessee to sort of take the bait and play that game. Because if Penny Hardaway is going to treat it the way he's been treating it in the past, mm-hmm. it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. That's the argument for Rick Barnes in Tennessee. However, after Memphis goes into Thompson Bowling Arena and wins a game, hard-fought but very ugly basketball game, without two of their best players, Penny Hardaway, I thought, did the exact right thing to try to keep this rivalry alive. This is what he had to say.
I mean, obviously, man, I know last year what I said after Coach Barnes, you know, press conference or whatever happened. When I read those statements today, it kind of made me cringe a little bit. So I kind of understood what was going to happen, you know, because I felt like it got misunderstood. But then when I read it, it wasn't a good look. And he and I talked about a little bit at half court, and, you know, I that'll never happen again.
That is basically an apology from Penny Hardaway to Rick Barnes. He said he talked about it with Rick Barnes. He said, it wasn't a good look, I cringed, and it'll never happen again. That is maturity, growth. Is that enough, in your opinion, for Tennessee fans, Rick Barnes, the Tennessee Athletic Department, to say, all right, that's cool, we're cool now. We'll bury the hatchet, and let's keep a really great rivalry that maybe the rest of the country actually is starting to pay attention to, focusing a sport that is desperate need of attention in December, in a football crazy sport, in a football crazy city and town and state. Is that enough in your mind from Penny Hardaway to sort of end the controversy and bring these two teams together for a consistent year in, year out in state rivalry game?
I think it is. I think this is a rivalry that both team should want. You know, it, I think it makes, you know, college basketball better. These two programs seem to be on the uptick, with Penny, with what he's doing, his recruiting classes, Coach Barnes, what he's been able to do the last, you know, 3 years, and what he continues to do with his program. I think it would be only fitting if they can continue to keep this rivalry going or this game going each and every year. Because I think both teams are starting to, you know, stockpile talent. Both teams are starting to, you know, put things in place where they're going to be, you know, players for a long time in college basketball, not just for the next 3 or 4 years. Now, obviously, coaches change and things happen, but I think, you know, with what Rick Barnes is doing, he's setting up this basketball program to be good, you know, in the future. And then obviously, you know, Penny and what he's able to do and what he's doing now. So I think I would love for this game, you know, in December, January, to be one of those marquee games on ESPN, ABC, one of those games where, you know, we're used to watching, you know, Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina,
right.
Michigan State, Michigan,
right.
You know, games that everybody in the country knows about.
It takes Belmont and Lipscomb, and with all due respect to both Belmont and Lipscomb, who are fantastic programs in the city, and there's a ton to like about what those coaches are doing over there. That is a great rivalry in the city of Nashville.
Yes.
It doesn't really extend out past much the city of Nashville because the national intrigue just isn't there. But imagine taking that rivalry and putting it on steroids and saying, all right, you know, you're going to play in Memphis 1 year, you're going to play at FedEx Forum, then you're going to play at Thompson Bowling Arena, then you're going to come here and play at Bridgestone. And you're going to rotate every 3 years forever. Mm-hmm. I think that fans could sink their teeth into that, prepare for it, get ready for it. It's going to give you a lot of – I know it was only the second-ranked matchup ever between the two of them on Saturday, but you're going to get a lot more of that now that you've got Rick Barnes and Penny Hardaway entrenched. And I don't see Penny going anywhere.
No.
Like, that's his destination job. He wants to be at Memphis. Rick Barnes, you know, could he retire in a couple years? I guess. He's been around a long time. He's coached a lot of basketball. But let's say for the next 5 to 7 years, they're both at those jobs. You're telling me you don't want to see 7 matchups straight between those two coaches? Or I guess it'd end up being like 9 or 10 at that point. That's as good for the sport as you can possibly get in the state of Tennessee.
These two programs have played, I think, roughly like 20-some times. I don't know if UT has the edge or not, but why wouldn't you want for this to continue?
The only thing I can think of is that you're giving Penny a chance to beat an SEC team, build a resume, and maybe have a chance to recruit some guys that maybe you were looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. I understand that. But that happens with Auburn, Alabama football. That happens with Michigan State, Michigan basketball. That happens with Duke, North Carolina. Like, and I'm not suggesting that Tennessee, Memphis would be on the same level as those rivalries. It probably won't ever get there. But it's the best we can offer as a state.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more imperative now that you have two coaches that feel like they are viable national coaches, right? They're going to have their teams in the tournament every year.
Well, these two, Memphis has won 4 of the last 5 meetings. Even last year's game, it was a high-scoring game. Memphis, UT ended up winning that game by 10. But it seems like you're going to get a good game when these two teams play. So why isn't this something that happens every year, you know? Because it's going to be a good game. For all intents and purposes, this is going to be a good game.
If I'm in the Tennessee Athletic Department and I'm arguing about this, my argument is, well, what do we gain from this? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if we win, sure, everybody wins.
Mm-hmm.
But if we lose, what we're doing is we're giving the AAC and Memphis and a rival in the state bragging rights, recruiting rights, whatever you want to call it. You're giving them an advantage. And if you just don't play the game altogether and you ignore it, It's the same reason Texas and Texas A&M haven't played, is that for a while there, A&M had nothing to gain from playing Texas, and then Texas had nothing to gain from playing A&M, and so now the politics have gotten in between, and now they're just sort of like, now it's just all ego-driven. Mm-hmm. But if you're Tennessee, you're like, well, no, we're in the SEC. We've got a great strength of schedule. We don't need to add wins against the AAC.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where you have to kind of put your own thing aside and say, well, what's best for basketball in the state? And maybe that means – who knows? Maybe that means the talent continues to get better in the state of Tennessee. I don't know. It's great for the state.
I think it's great for the state. But I do believe if Memphis continues to be a top 10, top 15 team. It helps Memphis more than it helps Tennessee, but I think it still helps Tennessee because I think a lot of teams can take that approach. Well, why should we play, you know, Duke? Why should we play Michigan State? We're in ACC, and we can get all our games there. Because if we lose to them, you know, it hurts us probably recruiting. But, you know, but we're going to play these guys because they are one of the best teams in the country. Whether we win or lose, we measure ourselves up against, you know, Michigan State, or Michigan State measures themselves up against Duke.
Yeah,
you're right. Memphis has more to gain than UT, but I still think if Memphis is a top 10 program, top 15 program, if UT can go and beat them in Memphis, how do we measure up against people outside of our conference?
I mean, how fun was that last year?
No, it was great.
From a drama standpoint. Again, it also, Penny said some stuff after the game, and the end of the game wasn't pretty or whatever, but like, that's a heck of a win last year.
Yeah.
It's a fun performance, fun game. Listen, it was ugly basketball on Saturday, but it was fun. It's great to see that place rocking and rolling. It brings Dick Vitale to the state.
Yeah, I just think this game should be on par with a lot of those other games that come on Saturday at noon or Saturday at 2:30, 3.
It was a big game on Saturday. Really good day for college hoop, actually. Arizona-Michigan was really good. Or Oregon-Michigan was really good. And Gonzaga was later in the day. It was a good day for college hoop. All right. When we come back, somebody was claimed off waivers yesterday. Should the Titans have put a waiver in on this particular player? And are there actual personnel decisions John Robinson could make for the Titans that actually solve some of the problems that they have right now? I don't know if there's any answers. We'll see if there are. Derek Mason will give you those answers. That's right. When we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Don't miss tomorrow night's Smashville Live featuring WWE star Eric Young. We will be in Murfreesboro at Puckett's Grocery and Restaurant located at 114 North Church Street. And the show starts at 7 p.m. The limited number of autographs and pictures will be available, so be sure to get there early. Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive. And at 1025_MD. Tweet us your worst Christmas cooking disaster or holiday cooking disaster, and here in a few minutes we'll announce the winner. At 1025_MD gets a $100 gift card from A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa. I'll give you a little pampering for your disaster in the past. Terrell Suggs was on waivers, as well as I think Janoris Jenkins was claimed by the Saints. The Chiefs claimed Terrell Suggs, and of course both of those teams are behind the Titans in the waiver priority list. It goes in reverse order of standing, so even though you claim Tremaine Brock, it's not like fantasy football. You don't move to the to the bottom of the list. It's just order of standing. And so the Titans had a chance on either one of those two players to go fix either their secondary or their pass rush. I'm assuming that they did their diligence and decided against it. Do you agree with the decision for either of those two players, Derek, via waiver? But also, do you agree with John Robinson's decision clearly and Mike Vrabel's decision to clearly hold firm with what they've got in special teams, which is Ryan Succop and Santoso? They're clearly deciding to stay with what they've got. Are you okay with all those decisions that the Titans are making right now?
I'm okay with the Terrell Suggs thing. Obviously, this year, Terrell Suggs, he hasn't been the player that he used to be. He has 5.5 sacks this year. And that's okay for a guy that has been in the league for 16 years. That's okay. He's slowing down. But how much would he have helped the Tennessee Titans? Veteran leadership, yes. But from a production standpoint,
knows the system, Baltimore, yeah, Dean P's ties, Dean's all that stuff.
Dean P's system. But realistically, from a production standpoint, this late in the season, I don't know if that would have been a benefit to the Titans. I'm not saying that he wouldn't have come in here and given you something, but would that something been worth worth it at the end of the season? The Titans' problem is in the secondary. Because they've had so many injuries, it puts a lot of pressure now on the defensive line to get to the passer. And, you know, they've had to face, you know, the last couple of games, mobile quarterbacks. You know, whether, you know, Carr is a mobile quarterback. Carr can move in a pocket. Obviously, Deshaun Watson can move in a pocket. Now, they don't get a guy that's mobile in the pocket, but what Drew Brees does is get rid of the ball very quickly. So, getting Terrell Suggs, I mean, it wouldn't have been a big shift for me anyway.
Right. I agree.
You know, again, veteran leadership, yes. Production-wise, I don't know if they're going to get more out of him than they would have gotten out of the guys that are on the team now.
And, again, I don't know if he's going to play for the Chiefs or not. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're just doing it to block him from going to Baltimore. But his whole spiel was, I'm not playing for Arizona anymore, mm-hmm. and I'm going to only go to Baltimore. So if you claim me, I'm not going to play for you. Which, I mean, again, do you want a part of that? I don't know if you want a part of that if you're the Titans. So I'm assuming you do your diligence and you call and say, hey, if we claim you, are you interested in coming playing for DNPs? Mm-hmm. And if he says, no, I'm only going to play for Baltimore – then what's the point of using a claim on the guy?
Yeah, you know, because if you try to play him, you mess up the chemistry of the team because he doesn't want to be here anyway.
Right.
And then you don't want that negative energy headed into the last two games of the season. So to me, if he's already made that, you know, he's already made that known that, listen, I don't want anyone to claim me because I don't want to play for anyone but Baltimore, then I'm not going to. And maybe that's the reason why. You know, John Robinson, you know, if he would have gotten to that, well, actually, he did get to that point because they passed on him. That, you know, if you come out and say, I don't want to play for anybody but Baltimore, I don't want to bring that negative energy into here. So obviously,
yeah,
he
fair.
Knew Dean Pease was here.
Right.
He liked Dean Pease, but he didn't want to play here.
Yeah. We can question the decisions of the Titans, in particular, mm-hmm. the special teams questions in camp, not bringing in more players to develop them. Bringing Ryan Succop back too early, getting rid of Cody Parkey, mm-hmm. getting rid of Cairo Santos, you know, having Santoso as your onside kick guy instead of, you know, Ryan Succop, you know, having Santoso on the roster at all. Like, mm-hmm. these are all decisions we can question, but you have to at least operate under the assumption that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel are trying, that they're doing their diligence and they're making the best decision they think for the team. And right now, they think that Terrell Suggs can't help them or won't help them. He decides that he won't help them. And that what they've got on special teams is what they're going to go to bat with. And what they've got in the secondary is what they're going to go to bat with. And if that's the case, you better have a pretty good scheme in place for Drew Brees, who, by the way, became the all-time NFL touchdown leader last night, 541 touchdown passes.
Mm-hmm.
They torched the Colts. The Colts are now eliminated from the playoffs, and the Saints are coming in to Nissan Stadium next week on a little bit of a high, but a short week. We will find out if it's the right move. If they lose on another blocked field goal and bad secondary play, you can't fault them for not trying in the secondary. They went out and got Tremaine Brock at least.
Yeah.
They went out and got Ty Smith. Like, it's not like they didn't try some things in the secondary. Almost they had to at that point.
Yeah,
but the pass rush is something that's something that has kind of gone up and down this season. It hasn't been as Harold Landry's been pretty good.
Yeah, But honestly, I don't know what more they can do.
Yeah.
What guy is out there that's going to give them immediate help and take this team from being subpar to good in two games? You know, I just don't think it's worth adding someone like that to your roster. I believe they got enough people, you know, at the defensive line position that, you know, we just got to do things a different way. We just got to scheme up something else.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it stems, the pressure they're not getting, it stems from the secondary being injured. Because now the guy that I used to send on these, you know, delayed blitzes and exotic blitzes, Logan Ryan, I can't do it. Because now I need him in coverage. Because he's the only healthy starter we have in a secondary other than Kevin Byard.
He's got to play better than that.
Exactly. Yeah. And obviously Kenny Vaccaro, he was playing, he had a good game this week, but we need you to cover Logan Ryan, and we can't allow you to blitz.
Preds back on the ice tonight. There's one thing I think we can ask of a couple of players, and I think we'll get to that when we come back. Also, we might have some cool free stuff to give away. Does that sound good? We might do that as well. Want to remind you guys, though, about my great friends at Xfinity. There's a reason we switched and we're not using the other guys anymore. And last night, there's a perfect example. Last night, I've got the Preds game on one TV. You know, I know the channel number, but you don't need to. You just use the voice remote. You push the little button on the Xfinity X1 voice remote, and you say Nashville Predators, and boom, up pops the Preds game. So you don't need to know if it's on national TV or our local Fox affiliate or whatever. Here's what I did, though. For some reason, there are certain movies that I just love from my childhood that are good to have on while I'm working, right? It's like a background movie. And I turned on the TV in one room, and Arachnophobia is on. 93% Rotten Tomatoes, okay? John Goodman is hysterical, and he's like a bit part in that movie. Great movie. Well, I turned it on like right in the middle of the movie on accident in one room. Well, I was going into the other room to work, so I had the Preds game going. And, you know, I was like, you know what? I want to finish up Arachnophobia. So I push the button, X1 voice remote on Xfinity, and I say Arachnophobia. Boom, it pops up. I start it from scratch. It starts playing. I got it on in the background while I'm working. The Preds game ends. I keep working, and I just watch the end of Arachnophobia where he takes a nail gun and he shoots it through a giant general spider. It's a great movie. I never would have noticed it. Xfinity gives it to me, and then I can go back and find it on demand because the Xfinity voice remote will just pop it right up for me. You never know when you're going to find something you like on Xfinity. That's why you got the X1 voice remote. It makes consuming content, makes your evening, makes your work schedule more enjoyable. If you're at home working, you like having a movie on in the background, you just push the button, say the movie, and it'll show you what all the different options to watch it. If it's on a, you know, if it's on demand, if it's on a pay channel, if it's a channel you got, it'll let you know. Just push the little button, X1 voice remote, Arachnophobia, boom. And all of a sudden you're watching, you know, a movie about spiders from Venezuela. Crazy. That's what Xfinity does for you. 1-800-XFINITY, Xfinity.com, or pop it to an Xfinity store today for more details. Derek Mason on this show on Morning Drive. My name's Braden Gall. There's so much Mace going on right now, it's ridiculous. We got Derek Mason, and we got Chris Mason joining us on the show, talking all things Nashville Predators here on Morning Drive. I have a pair of tickets coming up to give away to the Arizona Coyotes game at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, December 23rd. There will be a trivia question that involves the text line coming up momentarily, so stay tuned for that. C. Mace joining us here on the program, and I guess I've been getting a lot of the questions about this particular topic on the socials, C-Bay, so I thought I'd pass it along to you, and that is it okay to ask more of your highest paid and most talented offensive weapons? A great win last night, but Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, you know, is it okay for Preds fans to say, you know what, guys, I need a little bit more from you two? The reason we were so good early in the year is because our biggest names were producing at the highest level. Is it okay, in your opinion, to say, you know what, Ryan and Philip, I need a little bit more from you guys?
Well, of course. I think a lot of people, you know, are wondering that. You're getting a lot of great production. You know, you have three or four guys on pace for a career year. Nick Foligno, Grimaldi's already eclipsed his. You know, you're getting really good production from those guys, from your depth players. Austin Watson's playing well. He's not putting up the points like he has at some points in the past, but he's playing really well. And, you know, you go to the cliche, because I just heard David Quinn say it, the Rangers were actually playing really well. And they're getting the production. They signed Artemi Panarin to a huge deal, but he's producing. He's getting the job done. And he said the old, you know, your best players have to be your best players. And Mika Zibanejad's another guy. He's at a point per game. Those guys are producing, you know, and I think it is fair. You know, we need more from our top guys. I thought last night was a good game in terms of the battle level and the compete and all of that kind of stuff that had been missing. But at the end of the day, if the Preds are going to do anything, they're going to need those top guys to be scoring goals and producing. So I it is fair.
So, see, Mace, when you say it that way, and you figure guys are having, you know, career years to start off, is it just that, you know, your marquee players need to be your marquee players every night? They need to show up every night, or is it a little bit bigger than that? Because, you know, I've gotten a question, you know, over the last 2 weeks, what's going on with the Preds? It's not like they've overhaul the roster, and these are from people that don't even live here in Nashville. So I guess the national perspective is, you know, this team seemed the same. What's really going on?
Yeah, and you know what? It's I get that a lot too, actually, when I do, you know, other market media stuff. You know, everybody said that the year got off to such a great start. They added Matt Duchene. You know, in theory, they should be better. And, you know, I think, you know, sometimes, you know, not sometimes, a lot of times, sports are very humbling. And I think the way that they got off to the season, goals were going in left and right. They were giving up a ton. I think it was masked, and maybe I think you get a little sense of, hey, we're really good, and, you know, we don't really have to try that hard, and, you know, we're going to win hockey games. Well, that's not the reality of sports. And as soon as you start thinking that, I'm not necessarily saying that's what it was, but I think there is an element to that, because this league is too good. When you're the Nashville Predators or you're a top team, and the other opposition thinks you're a top team, you're going to get everyone's A game. So I don't care if you're facing somebody that's in 15th place or, you know, dead last in the standings, you're getting their best. And this league's too good, you know, to beat those types of teams, or any team for that matter, at, you know, 75%. And I think they got into a stretch like that, and I think this is still part of it. But if they play like last night and they have that mentality, I thought Johansson and Forsberg were really good. They didn't, you know, didn't show up on the score sheet. But I think if they bring that type of compete level, Matt Duchene had a couple opportunities too. They're gonna that'll turn for these guys. But you know, and some of it too is execution. You know, they got to make plays. You're the best players. You know, you got to make plays if you get a chance. It's not enough to say, well, we got a chance, or we almost, you know, had a goal there, we just missed. You got to execute, and the best players as well, they're on the power play. So you got to man advantage. It's a result of your best players. You're on the power play. Your best players go on there. Your most offensive guys. It's execution, and it hasn't been there.
Chris Mason joining us here talking Nashville Predators. They win last night 5-2 over the Rangers. The defense corps getting a lot of getting a lot going there. A couple of empty netters, but Josi and Ekholm were great, of course, in the second period. Sort of take the fans through, and obviously Ekholm's dealing with some illness here, but take the fans through the back-to-back issue. They'll be back on the ice tonight against the Islanders. Sometimes when you play a good game, you don't want to be back on the ice. Is it always tougher physically? Sometimes you lose game one and you come back and you dominate game two. I've been watching this game for a long time, Chris, and I can't ever figure out what exactly the impact of the back-to-back does, because sometimes it helps your team and sometimes it hurts your team.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. Like, I personally didn't mind them, because, you know, and even back then when I played, and I had a few stretches where the goalie would play both games, and, you know, I played 20 or 30 games in a row, and you obviously play the back-to-backs. I personally like them, because I think if you just keep rolling it over, it's just like you don't have to, there's not as much preparation because you just played last night and the process isn't as crazy. You're probably not going to skate in the morning, so you go to your meeting and just get your day going, and all of a sudden you're playing the game again, and it just feels like a continuation. But it gets tough when you have a lot of travel, and if you have the one where, you know, you're in Nashville on Friday, and then you got to play in Dallas on Saturday. Those ones are a little tricky because you're dealing with the travel and all the logistics and things like that. But it's I guess the only other thing is sometimes in the third period, if you get into, you know, getting hemmed in your end in the first couple periods, the legs maybe for the guys more often than goalies, I think. But your legs get a little heavy. But you gotta play a smart game, and that's like, you know, the Predators' battle last night. That was a tough hockey game physically for the Predators, because they spent a lot of time in the defensive zone. So the good thing is we only had to drive to Long Island last night, which was about 40 minutes. So, you know, so the guys got to the hotel at a reasonable hour. You know, so that's a good thing, and they'll have their meetings this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to humble brag or anything, but I did drive from LaGuardia out to the Hamptons this summer, and it took me 2.5 hours. So I'm sure you guys had a shorter trip. We were out by the vineyards and stuff. So if you ever get a chance to go out there, way out on Long Island, there's a lot of good stuff out there. A lot of cool stuff to do. Barry Trotz, of course, a guy that you know very well. Can you give us just tell us something we don't know, that we already know everything there is kind of to know about this guy, but just, it's another opportunity to appreciate what he did and accomplished here.
Well, the one thing about Barry, and you probably already knew this, but from a player's perspective, is I had a lot of coaches growing up and a lot of coaches in pro, and, you know, a lot of great people as well, but none as good as Barry. I think the thing with him is you know, I would say he's probably not the best X's and O guys. I think he's probably learned a lot, and that's changed. He surrounds himself with good people. But the thing about Barry Trotz is he connects with his players. He truly cares about his players. He wants to get to know you. He wants to know about your family. And he gets so much more out of his group because of that. I find, like, in the early years of the Predators, we didn't have very talented teams, but we always overachieved. You know, we had a great work ethics, and we have a coach like that who cares about your players. I just feel you get so much more out of your team, and I think he's, you know, continued to do that. He's just one of the best people in the game, and I think from a player standpoint, you can ask for, you know, a better coach in terms of that, you know, relationship. So I just think I just think the world of him. He's a great guy, and still doing good things here. So he's going to have those Islanders shutting down defense. So the Preds are going to have to work hard to get inside on him, I'll tell you that.
No question about it. C-Mace, always a pleasure, man. Thanks a lot, and thanks for joining us. And we'll be paying attention tonight, man.
Okay, thank you, guys. Take care, D-Mace.
Absolutely. Chris Mason there, obviously on the call television tonight. Pregame at 5, puck drop at 6. Pete and Hal, of course, on the call right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I love the early East Coast time. Mm-hmm. And they got 4 games on the East here. They got Ottawa coming up. You know, Boston's going to be brutal. Mm-hmm. But this is a critical. If they can sort of, again, it's the ship points a lot of different directions this time of year. Uh-huh. But you know, it's almost like it's wrong one night, and then it gets pointed back in the right direction the next night. And you need it generally pointed in the right direction for about a month and a half. And then you can say, all right, this team has found itself. It's reestablished itself. And I've got a lot of people on Twitter saying, hey, you know, do we need to be asking more of Ryan Johansson and Philip Forsberg. And I think that's totally fair. They're the best players on the team. And Matt Duchene, the highest paid player on the team, along with Johansson, it's okay to ask for more. Yossi and Ellis are doing their part. Mm-hmm. They got 2 huge contracts.
Yeah.
They're doing their part right now. They're at least on offense. They're producing on offense. So we'll see. All right. So here's a text trivia question for you. And I don't think... Here's the question. Marquise and Derek, do the names need to be spelled correctly? That's my question here.
You're texting. It has to be close, though.
It has to be pretty close.
Yeah.
So in honor of the tickets we're giving away are to the Arizona Coyotes at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, December 23rd. So we're giving away 2 tickets. You have to text in. The first person who texts in, and this is a bizarre memory and maybe a bad memory for some Preds fans. But obviously, the Coyotes beat the Predators in a second-round playoff matchup many, many years ago, 2012. There were 2 players that got suspended for Game 3, a game the Nashville Predators won here at Bridgestone. 2 players did not play in that game. Should I make you name both players or just get one of those players?
Both.
But damn, dude. Really?
Yeah, really. Jeez.
The other one's one of them's really obvious. The other one's harder to spell.
I mean, you don't have to spell it correctly. It got to be close.
Text at 615-737-1025. One or both?
I say one or the other.
All right. One or the other. This will not take long for Preds fans. This will take 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So who did not play in Game 3 of the series that needed to play, even though they didn't need him because they won 2-0 in that game? Mm-hmm. Little shutout there for the Preds. But the Coyotes knocked him out of the playoffs that year. 2 tickets to the Coyotes game coming up on December 23rd. Big game coming up next week, Christmas holiday. Text. It's time stamped, and we'll know who gets in first. So we'll do that. Big finish. Rewind when we come back right here on Morning Drive. Daily Rewind coming up momentarily. It is the season for giving, and 102.5 The Game is in the spirit. ESPN The Game Nashville is accepting donations of toys, winter clothing, or school supplies at our offices here. 1824 Murfreesboro Pike, Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Donations will benefit our kids, a charity that I work with, the Homeless and the Pencil Foundation. You can also donate today between 10 and 2 p.m. at Sudden Service Convenience Store located at 235 North Rutherford Boulevard in Murfreesboro. That's right. Chase McCabe is back in the borough. Plus, while there, enter for your chance to win a classic Winter Classic jersey. And for more information, visit thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. 102.5 The Game special. Game season of giving is brought to you by Sudden Service Convenience Stores. And I wanted to go deep into the archives there for the Coyotes tickets for the Preds fans, because I knew if you were a Preds fan, you would get it right away. And our first answer Got both of them correct, by the way. Andre Kostitsyn and Alex Radulov, of course, suspended for Game 3 against Phoenix. It was Phoenix at the time, the Phoenix Coyotes, in the 2012 series. But you can't be like a new Preds fan and get that one correct. You sort of have to be a Preds fan, to get that one correct. So, Chris Brady, congratulations. Two tickets to Arizona. And not a difficult question at all if you're a fan of the team. So you knew all about that and all about that story. And we got how many messages, Marquise? Like 35 messages in a matter of seconds. So Chris Brady was quick on the trigger and got two tickets to go to the Arizona Coyotes and Predators at Bridgestone Arena on the 23rd. That's why you listen to the show. You get a chance to go to Preds games. Let's rewind it back, Marquise. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason back in the saddle. My name is Braden Gall. Munson, just Munson, producing one name, Munson, behind the glass. The Preds do break the losing streak after falling in two games and a really nice performance. The defensemen scoring four of the five goals. Yossi and Ellis once again carrying this team and just an important win to start a four-game road trip last night. You had to get a couple of these on the road after playing the way you did on Thursday against Buffalo and then on Saturday, really ugly game against Dallas. And so to come back and take a 3-1 lead, you dominate the faceoff circle. The Rangers shoot, get more shots on net, but that's sort of what the Preds have been doing is out shooting teams but not getting good chances. Well, Matias Ekholm with a great chance at the breakaway. Yossi creating his own offense. Two empty netters. So huge win for the Preds last night.
It makes up for what happened this weekend. It seems like, you know, during the weekend, they just can't, for some reason, get it right. But, you know, they pick up a win last night. Started off a little slow, but then the second and third period scores two goals. UC Saros plays tremendous.
Yeah, he was really good
once again.
Yep.
So kudos to him. It's just them trying to figure it out. Them trying to settle into the type of play that they want to, or the type of team they want to be after the New Year's, or heading into the New Year's and after the New Year's, because, you know, they can't keep going, you know, this up and down, but right now they're clawing and fighting, trying to get in playoff position, and they got to put together, you know, they got to have a month where they put together, you know, 8-9 wins, and like they did the 7 losses, they got to put together a month where they have 7-8-9 wins to get themselves, you know, back to where they want to be.
I just sort of wanted to get your biggest thoughts, biggest takeaways from the weekend. Now that you've had a day to, like, sort of think about it and ruminate, as they say, but I just want to get your basic takeaways from the 3-point loss against the Texans with first place on the line at Nissan Stadium on Sunday.
The biggest takeaway for me was because Derrick Henry was not 100%, they lost that game.
Because of secondary or special teams?
You know what?
Or
no. Like I think the secondary for who they had out there, they did a pretty good job. Now, you expect Logan Ryan, if they put you on Kenny Stills, you got to do your job. Of anybody else can get beat, but I am putting you on Kenny Stills for a reason.
You're the only starter left.
Yeah, you are the you are the guy that I want to take away that, because we're going to double team the guys on the outside and we're going to leave you one on one with Kenny Stills, and we expect that you can handle that, and you couldn't. For the most part, I think the secondary for who they had out there, they played okay.
Couple interceptions.
Exactly.
They did what
they could.
My two big takeaways. Number one, though, it was he had too much time to throw, and the secondary couldn't cover Nuke in big moments. Because it was Kevin Byard that was giving up the play. Like, two great players made great plays in the fourth quarter. And so you're right. I think you're totally right. For who they had out there, they did a pretty respectable job, creating two turnovers, keeping him under 250 yards or whatever it was. But when push comes to shove in the fourth quarter, they didn't get stops, and the secondary couldn't stop DeAndre Hopkins. And Deshaun Watson had all day to throw. Floyd Reese joining us here.
You know, the turnover, we got turnovers, they got turnovers. We got turnovers in the end zone. You know, we got turnovers that were at the one. They get a turnover, and boom, it's clear at the other end of the field. And I think that was a big part of the game. You know, it wasn't that they were just running away with it. I mean, let's face it, you know, I think it's 14-14, maybe going into the fourth quarter. So you've got a chance. We got to a point where we had to do some things on defense that we weren't forced to do early in the game, you know, in an attempt to try to win it. And, you know, where you're doubling Hopkins to begin with, he's not doing much. All of a sudden, now you're trying to single him, and, you know, better than I do. I mean, you just can't do that. And so, you know, you end up digging the hole a little bit deeper, trying to do everything you can to help your team win.
Geese, who eats them?
Great question, Marquise. I feel like old members of parliament. I don't know. Like,
geese, goose.
Like, I've heard of a Christmas goose. Like, I've heard of that.
Never eaten that.
But I feel like I've watched it in, like a Disney movie from, like, the 60s. Honestly, like, I don't.
Never had goose meat. Geese meat? Goose meat?
Goose,
I don't know.
Goose meat?
Yeah, I've never had it.
Goose necks? Yeah. I don't know. Like, what? Have you ever had goose, Marquise?
Yeah, have you ever had goose?
No, I've never had.
They serve that in L.A.? Either Lower Alabama or Los Angeles? Exactly. Either one?
Neither one. I've never tried it before.
I haven't either, and I've tried everything.
Goose. Never had it, never will.
Play Duck Duck Goose.
Goose, don't need it, don't want it.
A goose and Maverick.
I've never seen, like, geese honking up through the sky going, like to try one of those.
Never thought you know that when I seen them fly over my head.
Now, when I see duck, I look for the shotgun.
Man. Oh.
Dude,
hey,
I want.
That's the way it is,
dude,
hey.
Duck is legit, man. It is so delicious.
I never had duck.
No, oh, my God, dude. So, how about this? Since Marquise and I have utterly dominated the Morning Drive Fantasy League, including you, Derek, we need to put something on the line. I'll buy you some duck.
You want to buy me
he doesn't even want that. It's like
exactly. He doesn't want the duck.
I'm telling you,
thinking
it is,
like, some Jack?
Oh, my, no, dude. I already gave you a bottle of Jack. Like,
you want
a couple
a
weeks
duck
ago.
Sandwich? This, some mustard?
No, I'm
mayo?
Telling you. No. It's like a well-done or like a medium rare steak. Uh-huh. You get duck breast, like medium rare. It's almost like seared tuna, like ahi tuna. It's like medium rare, and it is like absolute butter. Oh, my
and
God,
just
it's
give
delicious.
Me like a 12-pack of like Hot Pockets, and we call it. Call it a day.
Come on, man.
Hot Pockets.
You got to try some duck, Marquise. I'm telling you. It's legit, dude.
You'd take Hot Pockets over duck.
All right. Our Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa $100 gift card Twitter contest at 1025 underscore MD goes to insert name here. That's the name of the Twitter account. My mother decided to make my grandmother a Christmas goose, and instead she burnt down the in-laws' kitchen on Christmas Eve. Till this day, my father's family still gives her an ugly goose as a present. That was 20 years ago. Congratulations to insert name here. You get a $100 gift card.
Sounds like an XFL name.
It
Don't
does.
DM us. We'll DM you. Marquise will take care of that. For Derek, my name's Braden. His name's Munson. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bailey, DJ Nashville. Stay warm, and I love you.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.